If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now no longer in darkness. You used to be. Now you are a child of light. Say, child of light. Doesn't that conjure up just kind of wild images in your mind? A child of light. Man, what must that be like? 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says this, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, talking about the day of the Lord, so that this day should overtake you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. Wow, what a thought. I can just picture this child glowing, radiant, a child literally of light. That's you. That's me. In Christ, we have a new nature. Now, we were saying, you know, the old, and I love this saying. I'm not trying to bash, you know, this saying that I used to say all the time when I was growing up in a different church. You know, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, trying to stay humble. You know, I don't want to get all, you know, spiritually cocky or anything. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, not really. You were a sinner by nature. You were in bondage to sin. You were a slave to sin. And you were, yes, saved by grace. But now you are a new creature in Christ. If any man in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And yes, we still, you know, wrestle with some things in the flesh as our mind is being renewed and we're being transformed from glory to glory into his image. But we are nevertheless something new. The scripture does not refer to us in our state now as just a sinner saved by grace. We are a new creature in Christ. We are a child of light. We're no longer in darkness. Our very nature is light, the light of holiness, the light of truth, the light of love, the light of grace, the light of glory. That's who we are in Christ. Children of light. Someone once told me, they said, John, I don't know if this was a good thing or a bad thing. He said, John, you walk like your dad. I was like, really? How does my dad walk? I never really noticed before, you know? I mean, is that good or is that bad? Is that a compliment? Or are you like, you know, John, you walk like your dad. But it's true. We tend to walk and talk just like our parents do. Sometimes we surprise ourselves. Wow, we say something. Have you ever said something? Say, wow, I sound just like my dad or I sound just like my mom. And it scares you a little bit. But it's true, we ought to walk like our dad. If Christ is the light of the world, if God is light and in him there's no darkness at all, and we are a child of light, then we ought to walk like our father. Should we not? Or shouldn't we? Amen. Praise God. So we are children of light. And we are not only a new creature, but we have a new calling because we're children of light. And that calling is that we are also a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Not just any old priesthood. Royalty, brother. Royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5, right before our main passage that we're looking at today, he says this: a royal priesthood is a group of people who basically are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So if I were to ask, just hypothetically, how many priests are there in this sanctuary today? What kind of answer would you have? For instance, would you say, well, there's, and we were talking about church government yesterday, it was kind of ironic. Would you say, well, there's no priests in this sanctuary because, you know, we're not really Roman Catholic or Episcopal or anything. You know, we have pastors and stuff, and, you know, we don't have a priest, so there's zero. How many people would say zero? How many people would say, well, there's one priest. He's up there talking right now in that green sweater. You know, you're whatever they call you, the priest, whatever. How many say there's one? How many would say, well, you know, it's the elders. So there's like, two, three, four. What's the other one? Oh, five. Larry was here today. 4 or 5 priests in the sanctuary today. Man, I'm striking out here. How many would say D, none of the above? Okay, amen. You're with me now. You're where I'm going. That's right. Because who are the, anybody who is a priest in here, hold up your hand. That's right, exactly. We are all a member of the priesthood in Christ. We are kings and priests. We are a royal priesthood. In Christ, God has made each of us priests. And I could talk for months about that, the fact that we have spiritual authority as priests of Christ. If you want to hear more about that, ask Tom for the series on intercessory prayer. We'd go into detail on that. But we're a royal, spiritually authoritative priesthood. And as kingly priests, we are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what priests do. They offer up sacrifices. They make intercession and they sacrifice on behalf of the people. They speak to God for the people. A prophet speaks to the people for God. A priest speaks to God for the people. And as a royal priesthood, we're called to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, if you were a priest back in the Old Testament, just a regular old priest, you'd be standing there with your meat cleaver or your butcher knife or something, and some guy would bring up a bull and you'd slaughter that thing and throw him on the altar and burn him up. Or somebody bring up a goat and you'd slaughter that thing and throw him on the altar. Or somebody bring up a lamb and you'd slaughter that thing, throw him up on the altar. Or somebody bring a, you know, a turtle dove and you'd, you know, slaughter that thing and whatever's left. Yes. But as spiritual priests, as the royal priesthood in Christ that we're called, you don't need a meat cleaver anymore. You know, you can put your knife away. We're called to offer up a different kind of sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that we ought to daily offer up. Our life ought to be filled with the offering of spiritual sacrifices to God in Christ. So what do you think might be some examples? You don't have to explain them, but we're just going to see if we can list a few of them right here. What types of things do you think might be spiritual sacrifices that you as a priest are called to offer up? Anybody? Gene. Praises. Amen, sister. Praises are a spiritual sacrifice. Anybody else? Matt? Thanksgiving. Amen. John?
Prayer.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Any other ideas? Peter?
To
be obedient. Amen. Gene? Offerings. Yes. Excellent answers. Anybody else? Our life. Yes, sir. Absolutely, Nathan. Our life. Anybody else? Any other ideas? I'm sorry? Repentance. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Witness. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that talk about some of these very things that you've mentioned. We're going to run through a list of them real quick. Number one, prayer. Psalm 141, verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." We are called as royal priests to offer up the incense of prayer. You know, the priests back in the old days, in the holy place, they had like candles, the candlestick that had all the candles on it. They had the table of showbread that had bread on it. And they had an altar in the holy place. They had an altar of incense. And the priest would stand there and put this very special, specially formulated incense on there and burn it so that the place would be filled with the cloud and the fragrance of incense. And it's in a way a symbolic of prayer and intercessory prayer. Book of Revelation says that the prayers of the saints are offered up to God as incense. Paints it very picturesquely. And so that's what we're called to do as priests. We're to give an offering of incense through prayer. So, this is a stick of incense. As we're praying, keep in mind that our prayers are like a fragrance before God. We're not just talking into the air. We're just not, you know, wasting time just babbling and blabbing on and on and on like I might be doing right now. But as we are crying out to God in prayer and just being in His presence and offering our heart to Him, Scripture says that it goes up before Him like the fragrance of incense, like smoke that just wafts up and fills the place, the fragrance of Christ, particularly and especially when we are praying in the Holy Spirit. when the Spirit is praying through us. I don't mean some fleshly prayer of complaining like, God, how come you don't buy me a new car, God? You know, I got to drive this old thing. Or, you know, God, how come they talk about me like that? And, you know, I don't mean like, you know, moaning and groaning and whining. I'm talking about Spirit-led, fiery prayer that is a sacrificial prayer. It ascends like incense before the throne of God.